Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, thank you very much for having joined us at this UNESCO Future Forum. Let me begin by bringing you greetings of UNESCO's new Director General, Irina Bokova, who has taken the reins of the organization barely 3 weeks ago. And she is, of course, very busy. You know what a transition means in Uruguay. So she is very busy in the transition. It doesn't go that far and that fast at UNESCO as it does when you change a real government. But nevertheless, it's quite demanding. So she's very happy that we are here in Latin America and also underlining thereby our interest in the fate of the economic and social well-being of the continent. And so we are very much looking forward to this discussion. I thank very much sincerely the Uruguayan authorities, Minister Maria Simon, whom we had the pleasure to have in October in Paris at the General Conference, where she contributed very importantly to a plenary ministerial forum, and Minister Diraburi. So we know what it means to do a planning and a budgeting for a little organization. I can imagine what it means for a country. So thank you very much for receiving us here, and thank you to all of you who have come from far, in particular from far, because it is very far then to come here. We have seen it all and near to this reflection. Now, what is the task of a UNESCO Future Forum? We have established that about a year ago in order to reflect and to discuss issues which have come up of new importance, of relevance on the international agenda. We started, for example, this year, of course, with the impact of the economic and social crisis on the domains of UNESCO, which are education, science, culture, communication, and information, and then moved on to new dimensions of knowledge creation and knowledge sharing, which are being brought upon us through the new information technologies. We have moved on to science education, new dimensions of science education, etc., other issues which are of relevance, not in our daily work, but in a more strategic sense, how we can move in a better way to assist member states and also our stakeholders in their work. And so here we are with the middle-income countries, which in a sense is an issue which has been a bit neglected on the UN agenda. It was only at the last session that the General Assembly adopted a specific resolution on middle-income countries and calling on the UN system to look for a strategy and an approach how to deal with middle-income countries. After all, it is more than 100 countries, among them biggies, China, India. If you say you don't want to assist middle-income countries, what are you going to do with them? What are you going to do with Brazil? And, of course, there are special approaches, but you will have very powerful countries and countries which are very much interested in tapping into the knowledge and into the skills of the international system to see how can they work and develop their future activities. Now, of course, among these hundreds, you have the most dynamic countries in the world economy, but you also have vulnerable countries, and you have also vulnerabilities, as could be seen in the economic and social crisis, which translated very quickly into some countries, but others remained relatively immune, and that points already to the fact that middle-income countries are really very rich in diversity, of their economic fate, their vulnerability, their population, the composition of their economies, etc. But still, if we look at middle-income countries, we must see from the UN's point of view that we are going a little bit into the World Bank terminology, and we're very happy to have somebody also from the World Bank here to talk to us, because then you set up middle-income countries against low-income countries. And that's a very unusual division. You normally have the LDCs, the least developed countries, among them Africa, which is, of course, a priority for all the UN agencies. But we don't have as yet the middle development countries. And so it was interesting for us to see that in the stock-taking report about the delivering as one pilot from Uruguay, there was just such a proposal being made. Can we designate a middle developing or middle development country? I think it was translated into English. So that certainly will be one question we possibly can explore here. Now, our common agenda, whether we are MICs, LICs, LDCs, or MDCs, is, of course, also very broad, and it's still very valid. We, in the specialized agency world prefer to speak of the internationally agreed development goals, the IADGs, the rebel in acronyms, which nobody understands otherwise. We have among them the MDGs, the Millennium Development Goals, and of course we have sustainable development, particularly important these days as the Copenhagen agenda evolves. And I think the issue of the green society, and I would rather put it as a green society rather than a green economy, should be very much in the forefront of our minds. How can we secure innovation? How can we help countries develop new growth and new products? How can we build eco-cities which leave a lower carbon footprint? How can we generate the idea of new lifestyles among the young generation through education? And how can we protect biospheres and natural world heritage sites, which are very rich in Latin America in particular? So these, I think, is a totally new set of challenges which we have to address and which we have to begin to address jointly with the countries who are affected. Of course, there's another new dimension, which is UN reform. Uruguay, I mentioned already, having been a pilot country of the Delivering is One, I think had a relatively successful experience, also a unique experience in terms of substance. What were the components of the one country program, which was a little bit mirrored and echoed by other middle-income countries like Vietnam, aspiring and soon to be middle-income countries, or Albania. And so I think we also can see how we can learn from those lessons of the Delivering as One, how the UN system can have more coherence so that you as a country would not have to deal with 27 agencies of the UN system separately, but that you can work through the UN system in a holistic manner as one. And so the UN system, of course, was always questioning itself whether the amount of funds going through its coffers really justify that we have such a diversity of agencies at present and present in countries. And clearly one would have to reflect how a much broader coalition can be built, UN system plus the Bretton Woods and the other financial institutions plus the bilateral donors. We have a couple of models which is being called the joint assistance strategies, but they are not very popular as yet. Maybe that is the answer where a relatively more advanced country can explore possibilities to collaborate with the international community. So with those few thoughts, I want to again thank you for coming. I'm looking forward to our discussion. We have a very distinguished panel, not only the first one whom you see up here, but also throughout the day, and it should be really a very stimulating and energetic exchange, I hope. Let me conclude in front of all of you to congratulate Rebecca Greenspan, who has just been appointed by Secretary General Ban Ki-moon as Associate Administrator of UNDP, the number two slot. And so it's the first time that UNDP... that UNDP is run by two ladies. So what else you want? So with that spirit, thank you very much, and thank you for your attention.